Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. And then there's
all... Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio. And the calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, let us know that you want to talk. Hi, Michael.
Good afternoon. We are in afternoon time for a change, doing show. Welcome, everybody, to Mindshifter Radio, where we're here to support you in learning the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness, which is an interesting and powerful process that, although it's almost unbelievable for most people, leaves you without any capacity whatsoever to experience any sort of hostility or fear in your life. So that's what we're here to learn with you, to support you in learning, to give you the tools. If you're not familiar with our technology, what we're working with the ancient Aramaic language, where the tool of forgiveness has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook, because we're in pain, but rather it's the tool with which you go inside yourself and remove your pain. So that's what we're here to support you in experiencing and living. If you want to call in, please, our phone number is 646-200-4169. And if you want to access the technology, on the right-hand side of our homepage, Jeannie's work there on the website, www.whyagain.com, you'll find a link that says Download Worksheets. And there you'll find the first three links will give you the whole scoop on how to do Aramaic forgiveness, how to change what's happening inside of you. So welcome to our show. I believe this is day 30, Jeannie, of our celebration. Day 30 of the celebration of Memorial Day. And we decided on Memorial Day, the best way to honor those who had been forced to go to war was to bring healing to war. And, of course, how do we do that? Well, if I look at me and see any form of hostility or fear, I have work to do. I'm a contributor to war. If I choose to bring healing to that dynamic in my life and in the world, then I go inside myself and I start to forgive those realities of hostility and fear that lead to war. So we invite you to join us in that project. On a daily basis, if we can get enough people, a critical mass of people who will actually use the tool of forgiveness, we're going to find a change happens, and we're going to be liberated from this insanity that consumes just awesome, awesome amounts of wealth and leaves so many lives scarred. So welcome to our show, Jeannie. Any callers on the line? Anything in the chat room to start the show off?
No, there's a few people listening on the phone. There's only two people in the chat room right now, so it's moving slow today, so there's no questions yet.
Cool. We'll say good morning to Tim. How are you this morning, Dr. Tim?
Doing very well, thank you.
This afternoon, pardon me. It is afternoon where we are.
Yep, it's a beautiful day again. Glad to be here and sharing the tools with you and enthusiasm for those tools.
Yes, it is an awesome process to enter into that healing modality and look at. Not necessarily Dr. Feelgood. I suppose that in a support group, for those who don't know Dr. Chin is a psychologist who runs a support group, has been for about the last 6 years in just outside of Chicago, a town called Crystal Lake. And sometimes it's not pretty to watch people as they face what comes up in them, is it?
Well, it may not be pretty, but it's rewarding.
Absolutely.
One of the things that that's been coming up quite a bit in the last few days is the idea of whenever I ask somebody to look at something and there's a question about whether or not this is relevant to them, and I start to explain how or why it might be relevant, they have to ask me to explain it again.
Yeah.
And that's one of the keys. That's one of the keys where we know we hit a deeper part, because they literally go unconscious, or it sounds to them like I just started speaking Swahili.
Important language. Yeah, what, me involved in my life? Just because I'm feeling rage at you, him, and her, and them, and I want to criticize them, and I want to puke all over them, and just because that's happening doesn't mean I've got anything to do with what's happening in my world. So it's an interesting process to see people start to wake up and realize what's happening. If it's happening in my feeling nature, it's mine, it's about me. And that's a tough breakthrough to make if you've lived in a world where it was always somebody else's fault, where you made me angry, you made me sad, you made me afraid, you made me this, you made me that. I'm only miserable because of you. What's wrong with you? I'm only complaining because of you. I'm only critical. I'm only in resentment because of what you did. And wow, what a major piece of work to go. Oh my God! Every time this happened to me, I've been there. Maybe this is about me. And so we're inviting everybody to step into that level of work. And what you'll find when you do that is you come to a point where it really doesn't matter what's happening in your world. You get to live without hostility and fear. You get to live a human life. And we have a really simple definition of a human life. If you hold a newborn, you know exactly what a human life is. And our goal is to support every mind, heart, and being on planet Earth actually living a human life rather than living out of hostility or fear. So here we are. David, are you with us this morning? I guess David's not with us this morning. And
have you heard about the visitors at Heartland and how they're acclimating to the culture shock?
Well, we did talk with them yesterday. I haven't talked with them since just after the show yesterday. And there's culture shock and temperature shock, but it sounds like they're moving in the right direction and moving forward. So we hold the space for that. And we just actually got off an airplane about, 50 minutes ago, made the quick ride to our home here in Bristol, Tennessee, and walked in the door in time to hook up to the internet, and there was about maybe a minute and a half left to call the show, so we've just kind of arrived rather quickly here, and left Fort Lauderdale, Florida this morning at we were on move about 5:30 this morning, I guess 4:30 this morning, and so we just arrived in Tennessee. It's hot. A little on the humid side, but looks like a pretty day. So welcome to the show, everybody. And one of the things that I had in mind to talk about, do you have anything in particular in mind to bring up today, Tim?
Well, just that process of how there can literally be a part of me that wants to fix something, feel differently, do something that's new and somehow going to lead to a greater sense of joy or aliveness. And at the same time, there's another part of me that will distort my reality, not let me hear someone sitting right in front of me who's speaking plain English, who's trying to describe something to me or describe a tool. Literally yesterday, I was explaining the mind shifter process to a gentleman, and he stopped me and said, "Could you start over?" And I said, "Sure." And I said it again. You write the positive statement on the top of the page on the left-hand side, and he said, "All right, wait a minute. I just feel like I just want to take a nap. Can you start again?" We had to do that 5 times.
Wow.
Before getting through it. And so just discussing how I can literally have, as Guy Finley talks about, a mind that's divided against itself.
Yes.
That even though a part of me desperately wants to be loving and get rid of my old problems and find a new way, there's another part of me that clings desperately to what it's always done.
Oh, desperate is the word for sure. I remember you just triggered some brain cells. I was doing a workshop up in Toronto, Canada, and part of the exercise we were doing was that people were reading out loud. And this woman read, it was a page that everybody had, and this woman read from the page. And I don't remember, the workshop was on creating consciousness, and we were doing work around abundance. And this woman read her section on the page, and she read a whole line that wasn't there. And so I asked her, you know, everybody in the room had the same page and looked at it, kind of like, you know, what happened to you? And so I asked her to read it again. So she read it again and put a whole line in there that wasn't there. So then I asked her to follow along with her finger, word by word, and read what was on the page. And she pointed to it on the page and read it again. I remember a woman in South Florida. I used to have a private practice in South Florida. And there was a woman who was a dancer. She danced in ballroom dancing. And her mother had never come to see her. This woman was in her mid-40s. A lot of really heavy-duty challenges with her mother. Very wealthy family and a lot of heavy-duty challenges. And she worked through a major piece with her mother in a session and was dancing that night. Again, her mother had never come to see her dance. That night, unbeknownst to her, her mother was in the audience. She turned around. She did a twirl, and her eyes fell on her mother in the audience. And the issue that she had worked through was an issue from when she was about 5 years of age. And as her eyes fell on her mother sitting in the audience, for the first time, she saw her mother's aged face. She had not seen her mother with any other eyes. Her mind had not served up any other reality about her mother other than that picture of her being the same age as she was when this girl was 5. She turns around and sees her in the audience, and all of a sudden, her mother's aged 40 years. The mind is a funny thing. It's a very, very tricky thing. And until we're ready to really love truth and really look into, you know, there's an awesome piece of teaching in the Aramaic Beatitudes. When you listen to them from the Greek language, they kind of sound like a really nice philosophy. Wouldn't it be nice to live like this? But in Aramaic, it's a whole different thing. It's not a nice philosophy. It's about how to get the part of your mind that supports truth to become active rather than just playing out from whatever's firing in brain cells. And so, you know, you speak to this person, and our listening doesn't happen from someone else's speaking. Our listening happens from our own brain cell structure. That's a tough lesson to get when all your life you thought you were listening to people. Our seeing doesn't come from who and what's out there. Our seeing comes from our own brain cell structure. And so the Aramaic Beatitudes shows how to activate another level of mind function. There is so much wisdom in the Aramaic. And of course, I know in your practice and in your work with the support group and such, you've seen the effect of it over and over. When people actually activate in the Aramaic, they speak of the Beatitudes, they speak of an actual neural structure that is unconscious, that is hidden. And so, you know, we hear that the Beatitudes, as the Greeks would translate them, come out, blessed are they who, and then there's this whole, you know, scenario, this nice philosophy. In Aramaic, interestingly enough, there's no way to translate those words as blessed are they. What it actually says in Aramaic is a latent neural structure implanted by God to guide you to happiness and well-being becomes your conscious possession. And then each of the Beatitudes is a set of how-tos. It's how to do it. And the first one is an interesting example because we're told, of course, in the name of the man who said, I come to connect you to the spirit of truth, we're told that it says, blessed are they who are poor in spirit. And, you know, and this is in the name of the man who said, I come to connect you to the spirit of truth. How do you make that logical? But, and this is one of the ways we know that the Aramaic was prime, that it came first. The Greek did not come first in any way, shape, or form. But in Aramaic, what it says in that beatitude is, a latent neural structure implanted by God to guide your happiness and well-being becomes your conscious possession, you who love truth, who look into your errors in thought, the errors of your society. Now, if I want to blame everybody else, and my whole language and my whole culture has taught me, you made me angry, you made me sad, you made me afraid, it's all your fault, then I love lying. I don't love truth because nobody can cause anything to happen inside of me that isn't already inside of me, and it's me that's causing it. It's not somebody else. And so the Beatitude says, those who love truth and look into their errors in thought, and the errors of their society. And then what it tells us, you know, if you go to an interview positions around the country, you'll find that everybody's complaint, that the main complaint all over the country, is stress. And what it says is if we love truth enough and look into our errors and thought and the errors of our society, what it says is we'll be cured of mental stress. It's a whole different game. And it sounds like in your sharing with this gentleman, the mind shifter process, it brought up some mental stress. And, you know, the tradition in the mind is when I'm too stressed, I just block out what's coming in. So I certainly understand that, having to say it five different times. And it is a process of building brain cells. It's not an easy game to play.
Well, go ahead.
I just have to say, you know, I've been in the room with people on both ends of the spectrum. This gentleman was one who just desperately wanted to get it, and despite the fact that his dissociated mind kept blocking him from it, he kept asking me to repeat it. He could laugh about it. He knew it was silly that he couldn't get the words, and he stuck through it until we had it written down so he could take it home and read it and do it. On the other end of the spectrum are people who they absolutely get furious, and they think I'm trying to trick them or that I'm speaking gibberish or I'm trying to make things convoluted just so that I make myself look smarter, and they eventually give up and walk away from the very thing that could relieve their mental stress. So I applaud those people who stick with it.
Yeah, it's a very common thing for people to walk away from that which shows them what they have perhaps denied all their lives. It's almost tradition effect. We call that the seventh beatitude. And when people key into the seventh beatitude function of the seventh beatitude, man, they'll just puke all over whoever gets in their way and will bulldoze and destroy and of course, run away. I'm out of here. And that actually becomes, interestingly enough, blocking truth is an addictive way to manage stress. Now, if there's something that's not true in me and I block it out, if I keep it hidden from myself, by blocking it out, I don't have to look, and it stays out of sight, out of mind. When truth shows up around that particular issue, whatever it is, then what happens is my stress level goes up. And when my stress level goes up, all of a sudden, if I'm addicted to blocking truth, I will attack or try to get rid of the information that's bringing me closer to the truth about me. And, of course, how can I tell that's the dynamic? How can I tell that's what's happening? I'm in hostility or fear. When I go into hostility or fear, it's always a sign that there's something I'm not wanting to look at. Jeannie, you sound like you had a comment or a question or somebody on the line.
We have Lady Jane on the line.
Oh, awesome. Young lady, how are you?
Awesome. I'm fine. Are you okay?
We are well. We just arrived, just got off the airplane less than an hour ago to get here to Bristol, Tennessee. We left Fort Lauderdale this morning, got started on the road.
Now, correct?
We're going to take some time. Yeah, there's a big family reunion this weekend. And,
that's going to be a
family farm.
We won't relax
for
about 3 days, though. We're actually going to be moving Ryan and Gabby.
I didn't know that. Oh, did you get my envelope out there, Jeannie?
We just arrived like 5 minutes ago. I haven't even gone through mail yet.
Okay. Now, I'm surprised, Michael, that you didn't mention what you normally do about the poll story, you know, about the fact that he wants to do right, but he ends up doing wrong.
Right. Yeah. Why is it the things I would do I cannot do, and the things I hate are what I do? That's a perfect example of not knowing how to get close enough to truth to alleviate your stress.
Okay. Now, here's a problem that I want you to solve.
Oh, it's my job to solve it. Okay, I can do that.
All right. As I evolve and grow in consciousness, the church is getting less and less people. Now, what I mean by that is that the vibrations are a certain rate of consciousness, and some people are staying, but a lot of people are not. Now, do you run into that?
I've seen that happen a time or two, yes. That's where we came up with the idea of the Seventh Beatitude crew.
That's what I wondered. Okay.
Yes. Again, if one habitually blocks truth in order to manage the stress, and you habitually present truth, they either have to shift that.
Right.
Or they have to leave. Yeah,
right.
That's very common. You know, and as you begin to do the deeper and deeper levels of work over the years, I've noticed that one of four things occurs, and that is that people, first of all, will see it happening and go, wow, this is awesome, I want some. People will see it happening and go, wow, I can see this is really good for you, and that's great, but I'm not interested. People will see that you're working on something that's changing your life, and they want to run your life. So they don't like that, and they will crank up the heat, major big time. And as the heat gets cranked up, then that internal stress starts to surface. And if one's addicted to doing that, then all of a sudden, it's big time challenge.
Well, what I would like.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, I would love to see people more of a higher frequency or on the same vibration becoming. There's got to be more people out there.
Definitely.
Okay, well, let's hold the space that happens, because financially.
I'll hold that with you. I'll join you in that.
Thank you. Because, see, we all win when
Absolutely.
In the tithing and the whole thing. So,
right.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm glad
that you're all
safe and sound and going to have a wonderful time after 3 days.
Oh, we'll have fun the next 3 days, too.
Okay.
We'll definitely
have
fun.
A person from our church sitting with me, and we were doing some work, and I said, let's stop and see what Michael had to say. And so that's beneficial to her as well as me.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Oh,
well,
definitely.
I'll be talking with you.
I'm actually, if you want to hang loose for just a second, I'm actually just looking for it's not the seventh beatitude, it's the eighth beatitude.
Eighth beatitude, okay.
Yeah, the seventh is the one about service. I'm just looking on the computer now. And so the seventh one is about the peacemakers and the those who, in Aramaic, what it says is those who through service, and there's a specific reference in that seventh beatitude about service. And the eighth beatitude is, let me just get to it here, it's just going to take me a second. So what it says is, a latent neural structure implanted by those who love truth, who look into their errors and thought in the errors of their society, will be pure persecuted. And in the traditional translation, it says will be persecuted for, and it says in the traditional, for the sake of righteousness, but really it would be, and from the Aramaic perspective, it would be for presenting truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, there are those who will, again, if you present truth, somebody can block the truth, their stress comes up. And if that's their addiction, then, you know, the persecution forms, you know, comes about in all kinds of ways. I'm going to get rid of you. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to abandon you. I'm going to beat up on you verbally, emotionally, mentally. I'm going to go gossip behind your back. I'm going to be in resentment. I'm going to be in fear. I'm going to be in grief. You know, lots of different ways. So if we're actually living in truth and that happens, then as somebody plays that game, we'll get to see another level of our own inner stuff, another part of ourselves that holds out on ourselves, because, of course, it's all done with smoke and mirrors. So if I'm in some form of pain or trauma over what someone does in that particular case, then, of course, that's my work. It's not their work. If they're in pain and trauma, that's their work, not my work. And of course, most people want to deny that they have any work to do with all everybody else. There's a really simple way to tell whether you've got work to do or not. Are you in hostility or fear? If you are, then there's work to do. And it's just, you know, let's get about our Father's business. Let's get it done. And the work is not, as often presented traditionally, the work is really going inside of ourselves and removing what never belonged. And what never belonged was any form of hostility or fear. It never belonged in the human structure. So does that fit with anything that's going on for you at this moment?
Yes, yeah, I really appreciate that too, because I needed to hear that. Being as pure as I am, it's hard for me to face the fact that I have hostility or fear.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just once in a while it comes up in some of them.
Right. Well, okay.
And when it does, it's an opportunity to forgive that.
Right.
There's a very cool statement. Once again, I'm opening a document to look at. In the, I'm forgetting what book it's in. But it's a story of Yeshua, and as he finishes doing some of the teaching that he's doing, a Pharisee invites him for dinner, and the Pharisee marvels that he doesn't wash his hands, and then Yeshua says, "Woe unto you, Pharisees! You make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward parts," now it's interesting the words that it translates in Greek, but it says in Greek is, "your inward parts are full of ravening and wickedness," but it's just hostility and fear.
Uh-huh.
So what he's saying is most everybody is trying to make everything look nicey nice out here. Let me have the nicest car and the nicest house and the biggest bank account and the nicest kids and the cleanest yard, and let me have all of these things. But what does it matter if the weeds grow inside of me, if the rage, if the fear, if the intimidation, if the resentment? You know, just something as simple as, and it can be subtle because we can present our resentment as, you know, I'm just being nice, I'm just trying to help, but look what this person did. And out comes this mind vomit of hostility and resentment and in the form of criticism under the pretense, under the guise. And that's the pharisaical mind playing out of its hostility and fear. And so, you know, Yeshua gives us a great definition of where that exact dynamic's going to happen, and that's those who are totally focused on, let's make the outside all look nice, but don't make me look inside, or you are in trouble. And, of course, the whole body of work, everything that we're about in this work is about how to support people looking inside.
Maybe.
Loving truth. Loving truth, looking into our ears and thought in the ears of our society, and therefore being cured of mental stress. You know, CDC recently came out with a statement that said at least 85% of disease, physical disease, has a strong emotional component.
Yeah.
I.e., a strong parasitical component, dissociative hostility and fear. So I join you and support you in having those folks that are ready to go to the next level to show up and play. And Tim, do you have any thoughts for St. James?
Don't have any other callers or any other questions in the chat room right now.
Hey, is Tim still with us?
He is.
I was just wondering, Tim, do you have any thoughts for Jane? And it sounds like maybe you've been recently going through.
He's in the chat room, but he's disappeared off the switchboard.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Well, remember, folks, our phone-in number is 646-200-4169. We would love to hear from you. Your questions, your comments. Jane, we love you and bless you, and look forward to seeing you this summer. And I'm delighted to be sharing the planet with you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bless you. Bye-bye. Yeah, it takes really a courageous attitude of mind to go for the rewards that are there for one who's really willing to look inside and engage in that deep work of love of truth and doing the work. You know, oftentimes belief systems develop that don't include anything to do with the work. I run into many people who've been following Yeshua for years and have had no direct experience on a cellular level of the active presence of love and have lots of, you know, nice words to say, but the actual experience of that love is what his work is about. And he says there's work to be done. You know, there's a body of work that we each need to engage in. And to taste the practical rewards of the journey, you got to make the journey. And when you do, it's absolutely awesome. You know, we had Nene call in yesterday. We actually got to spend some time and have dinner with Nene yesterday. And she's coming to Heartland this summer for teacher's training. And she helped to teach in Spanish the Y workshop. She's been engaged in the work for 6 months. Awesome, awesome commitment to truth and love of truth and moving forward with her work. And, you know, for those who might not have been on the show yesterday, and it ties in with our conversation here, I asked her the question as she shared, and she's been through many, many major, like big, major life issues in the last 6 months. And I asked her, what was her level of joy 6 months ago when she started this work compared to today? And the words she used, I think, if I remember correctly, were happiness and serenity. And she used the word serenity. She said 6 months ago, before she put the first pen to the paper on the first worksheet, that her level of happiness and serenity was about a 5 on a scale of 100, and that today she's running about 120. And you can't have that reward if you don't use the tools that were presented. So that journey within is a pretty tough one. What we want to do is lay out the tools and the principles which support you in ferreting out the good, the wondrous, the healing possibilities in every situation that comes up. And the only thing that will block that is our mind holds a reality based in some form of hostility or fear. Like the Pharisee, we've got that internalized, you know, within that internalized hostility or fear, and refuse to look at anything else, refuse to go for the next level. We're here to support you going to the next level. And one of the reasons we're doing that is because we're ready to go to the next level. I love what Richard Buck says. We teach that best that which we most need to learn. So if you find yourself in a repeated situation, you know, you go back and look at yourself as a kid, and there was this particular person who was your challenge, your nemesis, and here you are, you know, 50, 60, 70 years later, and you've got someone in your life who's laying out the same realities with you. How awesome and how powerful you are to pull people in to do that. And when you recognize that you're the common link, then you recognize that you have work to do, and it's not all about them. So that's where we're heading, and we're delighted that you're here on a practical level. You're on day 30 of our celebration of Memorial Day. We invite you to face an issue in you today. It's based on some form of hostility or fear. And let go. Let it loose. Forgive it. The forgiveness process is on our website, www.whyagain.com. Our intensive season starts on July the 18th. If you're ready to crank your work up and take it to the next level, we'd love to have you join us. And get willing enough to look at your internalized misery right square in the face. Most people only ever see their internalized misery when they project it. They use their misery to build their brain's image of someone else. Of course, they feel it in their physiology, but their mind actually shows them pictures that it belongs to somebody else. And, of course, how can you tell it? If we'll go back to a principle from the codependence work that we talked about a few weeks ago, and that is that if we had a power person that used us, if we had a power person that always had you to blame for what was going on in their lives, and you never rise above that, then what happens is you'll experience the same pains and traumas as your power person did, and you'll always have the belief that it's about somebody else. So the mind will focus. You'll follow the pattern unconsciously of the power person, and the mind focuses on what that other person did to you, and all the while proclaiming how terrible they are and what they've done and how they should, and you know how to correct them. Boy, you really know how to fix them and put them on the right path. Because, of course, you're on the right path. But notice that you're doing exactly what your power person did. Your power person used you as an excuse to be in pain and have somebody to blame. And if you're in pain and you're proclaiming it's about somebody else, you're using them in order to avoid responsibility for your internalized pain. That's the principle that causes war. That's what we're here to support healing. Jeannie, any comments, questions, thoughts, answers, ideas on the...
I just had a thought. Share about Nene and the workshop that we did Sunday with the center that works with abused children and how we had English and Spanish both going. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really pretty cool. We had about 25 or 30 people on one side of the room, and then there was a divider wall, and on the other side of the room were about 15 Spanish folks sitting around the table, And so I taught the workshop in English. It actually was kind of reminiscent of when we did it with Dzogchen Kempo. And we actually had a Tibetan monk that we taught the why and forgiveness work to 3 days in a row. We taught it to him personally, then to some of his students, and then at a center that he ran. And then the fourth workshop, the fourth in a row, 4 days in a row, we did a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop with him there. We taught it in English, and because the majority of the audience was Tibetan, he taught it in Tibetan. And it was kind of like that in Spanish. What day was that? The time has gotten so fast, I don't even know what day it is. I guess today's Tuesday, right? We're at Tuesday already. Here we are, Tuesday. So that was Sunday. And I presented the workshop in English, and as I presented an idea, then Nene just did this awesome job. I mean, you want to see somebody glowing. This lady was just glowing as she presented these people who were so excited. She did such an awesome job. Maybe if you're out there, Nene, you give us a call. She listens to the show pretty often. But it was just so fabulous. And we, as I said, we had dinner with Nene last night, and it's pretty cool to watch how this lady has just taken the tools. And, you know, not that everything's going awesomely well in her life. She has a daughter that's in South America. They've been going through immigration, trying to get her to just be able to come and visit. But I guess immigration trusts that if her daughter gets her, she's going to stay. And they don't want her to stay. But, you know, Nene is here as a political, under political asylum. So, you know, there's been some crazy stuff in her world. She's facing that and going through this with the bureaucracy. Recently had a man that she was dating that had had an old girlfriend that returned. And Nene is just, okay, I'm doing my work. And just so awesomely moving through what could otherwise be life-shattering experiences. And she hasn't seen her daughter. I forget what she said last night, Jeannie. Was it 3 years, 4 years? Remember? Anyway, whatever it was, it's been quite a while, and you know, she's trying to get to see her daughter, and her daughter lives in Argentina, and doesn't they won't give her a visa to just come and visit for a couple of weeks. You know? And she's doing her work. And she called and asked for support. She actually was on the show one day processing that. And that's, you know, it's major stuff. And, you know, here we are. We all have major stuff. But that's no reason to give up our human lives. Now, the non-being mind, the mind based in hostility or fear, will tell us, oh, yeah, well, of course, how can I possibly be loving in a situation like that? Well, you could be loving in a situation like that because there's no hostility or fear in you. You've actually gone inside, and your inward parts, you've cleaned out all the hostility and fear. And so situations happen that yesterday would have brought up hostility and fear in you. And if there's none left, then you don't go there. You function as a human being. You function out of love. That's actually possible. And all that other stuff is totally, completely, 100% optional. We can be throwing it out. You know, in the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, you know, we talked to the character, Richard, about how he goes from relationship to relationship, situation to situation. And, you know, this character can't even fathom a world or a relationship where he can actually stay and work through his issues, because the only option he can conceive of is blaming everybody else for his internalized misery. You know, he's kind of like the classic innocent victim. And of course, innocent victim is an oxymoron. There are no innocent victims. They're only volunteers. And we volunteer by refusing to come back into the relationship directly and consciously. What forgiveness does from the Aramaic, instead of letting other people off the hook, as the Greek translations would tell you, what forgiveness does is it gives you the opportunity to come back into direct conscious relationship with the dissociated parts of your mind, the parts you've been denying and blaming on everybody else. And when you come back into those parts, you also all of a sudden have choice over them. When you're in a dissociated state, whatever you put in there, whatever goes into that denial state, whatever, when you say, you made me, and you follow it up with whatever it is when you're talking to someone else, you made me, you're talking from your dissociated state. And whatever's in that dissociated mind, every feeling, every thought, every rage, every grief, every behavior that went in with that is in the dissociated mind. And guess what? You can't change it. While you're looking at a picture made up of that data, and the picture appears to be about someone else, you can't change that content. So, you know, and there's the essence of Paul's statement where he says, you know, I've written this awesome stuff about love. I want to be loving. Why is it the things I would do I cannot do, and the things I hate are what I do? It's really very simple and very obvious what's going on, and that is that he's in that innocent victim state and doesn't know how to crack the code of his own dissociated mind. 2,000 years ago, the man named Yeshua gave us an exact and specific set of tools for how to do that. It's called forgiveness. When you crack it, you put an end to the cycle of why is this happening to me again. And we're here to support you doing that. And we're here to end the cycle of war, which comes from our own dissociated hostility and fear.
Michael?
Well, yes, sweetie.
I apologize. My battery went down and I got kicked off the phone, and so I missed part of that.
Okay.
But Tim just sent a thing and says he has another translation of the Eighth Beatitude if you want him to read it.
Oh, please, yes. That'd be awesome. Sure. There are many nuances in the Aramaic. Is this an Aramaic translation you're looking at?
Yeah, this is part of that DVD I sent you.
Oh, right, right, sure.
I was trying to bring this up while Reverend Jane was on the phone. In this translation, he breaks the Eighth Beatitude down into three parts, since he feels there are separate threads that tie together. But the Eighth Beatitude from the King James Version reads, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the new translation is offered, "Then comes the birthing power that forces you further from your old habits, that you may touch, that you may touch more deeply your true home in divine mystery." And then the ninth one reads, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." That's from the King James Version. And the new translation for that is, "Others will project, attack with vicious words, or even separate from you because your creation threatened them. No, they seek to divert your unfolding in spirit." And then the last segment is, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." That's from the King James Version. And the new interpretation of that is, "Resolve to increase your radiant aliveness, dissolving the last vestiges of fear as your union matures fully. All before you who awakened to divine purpose likewise passed through this final learning."
Oh, it's a challenge. I think they said something about the test of fire. Going to melt the dross off of the gold.
Yeah, and so for Reverend Jane, I would just say, you know, when you're doing your own inner work, sometimes people will come along and want to jump on the board and do their own, and sometimes they'll want to attack you, and sometimes they just leave. But our challenge is to just keep our focus. What is it about if my eye is single, my body will be filled with light?
Precisely, and of course, when somebody else is trying to force their issues on another, they're in a place where Yeshua would advise them, why are you trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye while you have a beam in your own? You've got a log blocking your own vision, your blockage of truth. Why are you trying to change somebody else? And, of course, how do you tell if you've got a log in your eye? Are you experiencing any form of hostility or fear? And when one, you know, is in that hostility or fear, they try to manipulate others into change, but that does nothing to address the internalized misery. And no matter how often one runs away, the problem's carried with them wherever they go. You know, we talk about the geographic cure, and how it would be awesome if you could take the geographic cure and not be there when you got there. But your whole reality structure goes with you, and, you know, people will go from place to place to place, hoping that, you know, something will change in them. And the thing that changes in us changes to your forgiveness. That's how you change that dissociated state. And you get every opportunity you need to learn forgiveness when you make the commitment to do your work. And, of course, one of my favorite tongue-in-cheek questions in the Why Workshop is, if you're the one with the problem, why are you the one with the pain? Every time it's happened to you, haven't you been there? So while one becomes a hero in their own mind and the champion of every wonderful situation in which one rarely finds oneself, then they can always explain in detail why the inability to maintain rewarding long-term relationships or the state of love just in oneself, why it's so difficult. It's because of what they did. You see, don't you know? And, of course, it's a pretty crazy solution to the problem. Pretty crazy.
Well, and for anybody who's actually picked up the tools and use it, you don't have to believe anymore. You just see it.
Yeah, and it becomes, you know, as opposed to believing, I like to break that word down. Instead of believing, you can live it. You have to live it rather than just believe in it. You know, there are lots of people, Yeshua talked about those who would come to him prattling with their words, but their hearts were far away. Well, they believed, but were they believing it? Were they living it? Living the active presence of love. When you think of the Creator, when you think of neighbor, when you think of self. And if you can do that, then all the clouds are gone and you can see clearly. But the last mind that wants to clear the clouds is the one who's filled with them, because they actually believe it's everybody else's cloud. And so that's kind of the essence of the codependence work that we do. And I believe somebody else can cause something to happen in my mind. Now, there's no question there are people who do crazy things. That's very true. But those crazy things don't cause our pain. What causes our pain is the fact that we have pain in us. And when somebody shows up that resonates that pain, if we're in denial and dissociation, we point the finger at them and say, why are you causing so much pain in me? We just miss the opportunity to change that painful reality within us by owning it and moving through and out the other side of it. So here we are, looking to own and move through every hostility of fear that the mind could possibly present to us. It's an awesome task, it's an awesome opportunity, it's an awesome responsibility. Because in order to do it, you have to look into every dissociated state in your own mind. (646) 200-4169 is our number. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, comment, thought, is what we're saying making sense to you? If it's not, call us and ask us why. Ask us what's going on. Why would we say such crazy things as, I'm responsible for what's happening inside of me? You know, challenge me. Love to hear from you. 646-200-4169.
Michael, we have a caller. Area code 607, you're on the air.
Hey, Michael, it's Richard. How you doing?
I am blessed, young man. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored.
All right.
Cool. Yeah, I've been watching your DVDs, and I really like the work you're doing, and I can't wait to get there to do the seminar, and looking forward to it, and looking forward to learning
from
you.
You're ready for everything to come up in your face?
I'm not sure whether I'm ready for everything to come up in my face, and whether I can peel it off or not, I don't know, but
Well, it is.
I love your message.
You know, one of the first things that I say when I do an intensive is I'll let everybody know that I have invited everyone that they've never dealt with in their world to come and be at the workshop, and that they all agreed to show up. And they do. It's awesome. They show up. And when you recognize the change that can take place, when you take responsibility, cool. So I'm delighted you're watching. Which DVD are you on, Richard?
Actually, I'm listening to the one Empowered to Heal, and it was interesting that the fact that I had stopped it at the part where you were talking about the Beatitudes, and you end up talking about the Beatitudes on the talk radio show today. Synchronicity, huh? Anyway,
so you're the one who decided what we were going to talk about today without even calling. Okay.
I guess so. Anyway. Yeah, I really love the work you're doing, and and looking forward to learning from you. And I can't say enough. I have been sharing the tools. I've been out to dinner, and a friend of mine showed up there, and she had her son and to be daughter-in-law there. They were looking at the place to host their pre-dinner party or whatever, or after the rehearsal party. And I asked the woman what she did and where she was from. She said she was from Redding, California. I said, oh, I just passed through there this year, and talked a little bit about that and asked her what she did. And she said she was working with, she was in psychology or whatever, and working with, you know, teaching people how to deal with their troubles and all that. And I said, oh, and I said, it's all an inside job. And she goes, yeah. So then I ended up sharing your tools with her. So hopefully she'll take a chance to look at the website and all that. And everybody I've shared the tools with, they always tell me it's really great stuff. And their feedback is always, oh, that's right down the line and all that stuff. So I just can't say enough about the work you're doing, and looking forward to learning from you.
Well, I appreciate that input, Richard, and we look forward to seeing you. It's just a couple of weeks now. But you'll be in Heartland for that Wise is Happening to You Again in Texas. And you know, we're going to do a whole range of workshops in Texas. So we'll be doing the Why workshop. We'll be doing healing through relationships, communications, your hear what I think I said, purpose, personal power, commitment, power to heal, mind shifters, yep. Hands-on energy field work. We'll be doing a whole range of things. Of course, Still Point Breathing. So we'll look forward to sharing it with you and getting face-to-face and meeting you.
Yeah, and I want to really looking forward to learning the Still Point Breathing. I'm not sure how you teach it or what you teach there, but I'm anxious to learn that. I can't wait to learn that technique. I'm looking forward to meeting you again. We've talked many times and haven't met face to face, so hopefully this will be our opportunity to know and share the love you teach.
Awesome. All right, Richard. Thank you for the call. Bless you.
Take care. Bye bye.
Carol, are you flying into Heartland, or are you driving?
I was planning on driving.
Driving? Cool. And you're going to be driving from
Ithaca, New York. So if there's anybody coming from this upstate New York and want to share the ride with me, let them know. I'm gonna give them my phone number.
Okay, I'll keep an eye, and if anybody wants to come from that direction and wants to share expenses in the ride and such, I'll
I basically would probably travel on Interstate 70 through Indianapolis, even if anybody coming from that area and wants me to jump aboard on the way through, let them know.
Cool. Fabulous. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it. We'll see you in just a couple of weeks.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. Jeannie, any other thoughts in the chat room or callers on the line? 646-200-4169. We're down to about 3 minutes. This has been a fast hour.
Yeah, it has. No, I don't have any other questions or anything. There's just people listening.
Right. Awesome. Well, you know, a lot of people experience their lives as a no-win game. A no-win existence, and it's because of the repeated patterns from the power person. And so what we're looking to do, you know, if you find yourself saying, gee, you know, I really want loving space with my children, my spouse, I just want to really be there, and yet you find yourself repeatedly having the teeth grit and come up and wanting to, you know, say something that just isn't all as loving as you'd like it to be, there's where the forgiveness work happens. There's where you crack your dissociated mind. You work through whatever's there. It's not fun. It's not thought to feel good, but it can be done. We're here to support you in it. Please work with the worksheet and call us with questions. We'd love to hear from you. That really helps to make the show alive. We're here to help you to support you in creating the best year yet of your eternal life. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Blessing. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.